Welcome back everyone. In this session, we will be looking at processing a seed and making it ready for production. Traditionally, we followed a practice called winnowing, which was generally used for cleaning of seeds. In this example, you can very well see in this image how winnowing has happened. Some of us may have observed it live in our native villages. Some of us may have seen it on television. It is nothing but a simple process where the wind is used to segregate other unwanted particulate matter from the basic seed. However, this particular method is no longer viable and is not 100% successful when we are talking about commercial farming. And hence we come to the topic of this session, which is seed processing. Today, seed processing is a vital part of seed production, and it is needed to move the improved genetic material of the plant breeder into the commercial channels. The way in which we saw the previous session, where we moved from a nucleus to a certified seed, the entire process was ensuring that the genetic material remained intact throughout the flow of seeds. Seed processing is what ensures the genetic material remains intact. The moisture content in the seed, which is before the processing of the seed, is an important factor here that needs to be considered. It is said that, or rather it is observed, that seeds with moisture content above 15% are subject to excessive damage in the processing line. In case of seeds which have a naturally higher percentage of moisture, natural or artificial drying methodologies are required. When the moisture content in a seed is high, it becomes at times soft or brittle and results in breakage, cracks, or some other form of aberrations on it. This impacts the germination and hence the purity of the variety and the outcome from that particular seed. The physical characteristics that are used when seeds are being segregated into various lots, there are various physical characteristics that one needs to look at. Obviously, the normal, the conventional approaches of size, length, weight, shape is what every time we look at. For example, if we are looking at the seeds of a bajra crop, it is ideally supposed to be spherical. Any seed that turns out to be oval has to be immediately removed. The surface texture of the seed is also very important. If the surface texture is supposed to be smooth and if it is grainy, there is a problem with the seed. If there are cracks on the surface coat of the seed, there is a problem. Because a crack on the seed coating will result in excess moisture getting seeped into the seed, which may decompose the seed and may not result in good results. Color of the seed is also very important. Like I said in just now about the bajra crop, is ideally supposed to be a little gray or an off-white kind of a crop. If any seed is exhibiting colors of excess white or a little bit brown, it is not a good crop. A rice is ideally supposed to be white to off-white. If there is any yellowing of the rice, it is not a good seed. Such observations are very important in segregating the seeds from one quality to the other. Also, we need to look at affinity for liquids. Are they too much, sometimes the seeds are tested by merely putting them in the water. Ideally, if you are planting melon seeds, it is said that the seeds that float on the top of the water are to be discarded and the ones that sink are to be used. This is just a very rudimentary example. There are various other tests that people undertake to identify the affinity of liquids. Electrical conductivity is also a test that is used for understanding the seeds quality. Now, unlike what we are assuming here, electrical conductivity does not necessarily impact the seed's quality. In fact, it is said that electrical conductivity is kind of the fastest and the best way of knowing whether the seed is viable or not. And immediately after the test, the seed can be used for further sowing and purpose, other purposes. Let us now look at the advantages of seed processing. First of all, it gives us better uniformity in the planting rate as well as the proper sizing of every seed. If the seed quality is good and the marketing efforts are efficient, the results will always be positive. It also prevents weed seeds. In any form of harvesting, even when we are doing something like a breeder seed harvest or a foundation seed harvest, there will always be one or two weeds that come in between. And most of the time, we may not necessarily segregate this weed from the normal crop. In such cases, weed seeds also get incorporated into the normal seed stock. But if a regular seed processing and the scientific method of seed processing is followed, weed seeds can be eliminated and hence a pure seed stock can be achieved. It prevents crops from certain diseases or by application of certain chemical protectants. So you may use chemical protectants to kind of protect the seeds in the outer coating and help the seed to fight off certain diseases while in storage. It reduces seed losses by drying and ensuring that proper moisture content is maintained. It also facilitates a uniform marketing methodology by providing proper packaging and storage from harvest to actual use. Seed processing ensures that we are not only maintaining the quality and the standard of the seeds that are produced, but it also ensures that our marketing efforts do not go in vain. Now let us look at a few steps of the entire seed processing methodology. This is the basic diagram wherein you can see the journey of a seed from the receiving till the storage section. So it starts with receiving. This is the first step where this product comes across to a particular step where it is conditioned, it is cleaned, rather pre-cleaned. Pre-cleaning and normal cleaning, there is a difference. For example, in pre-cleaning, there are processes like scalping, deburring, shelling, and all, which removes certain unwanted materials from the seed stock. When we thresh a seed, what we generally get along with the seed would be stones, small pebbles, husk, other plant seeds, or some form of unnecessary impurities that are visible and that can be removed from the seed stock, but not with a manual conditioning. Winnowing helps in the pre-cleaning of the seeds. Then we move on to further cleaning and grading of the seeds. Further cleaning means we will remove the weed seeds or oddly shaped seeds or other colored seeds from the normal seed stock. Grading is generally done basis the shape and the size of the seed. It is generally passed through a screen which has multiple perforations, and depending on the size of the seed, it moves in and out of a particular perforation. So the bigger sized seeds are segregated from the smaller sized seeds. So this is how grading of the seed happens. Once this is done, now in the first two processes itself, we can go into bulk storage, and then as and when we require it, we can move towards cleaning, grading, and separating. Now, assuming that we do not get into bulk storage and we've moved from conditioning and pre-cleaning to cleaning and grading, the next step here would be separation and upgrading. So now we have graded the seeds according to their sizes. We have now separated them and we are treating them separately and bagging them into various seed bags. These seed bags then go into storage. At every step, utmost care is taken to ensure that there is no mixing of variety, there is no mixing of seed grades, and ensure that the quality is taken care of. Now, As the desired purity of a particular seed is obtained, the seed enters the final processing stage of separation on the basis of characteristics like length, weight, etc. And then it gets into packaging. Now the processed seed is later on, it can be stored and sold at a later stage. So there are multiple type of seeds which require multiple levels of storage. Some seeds may not be viable for storage and may have to be sold immediately. Some seeds can be stored for a longer duration. We will look at these in the further slides. Now, what are the advantages of seed treatment? Like I said, there are certain seeds which are treated with certain chemical reagents or organic reagents to ensure that the quality is maintained and they can fight certain diseases. There are several other advantages of seed treatment also. It improves seed germination. It establishes a healthy and vigorous plant. You know, it is always viable to have a healthy and vigorous plant rather than a weak sapling. It increases production. A good seed at times is supposed to give a very good yield from a good plant. Now, we may attribute a good yield to the various fertilizers or nutrients that we add to the soil. But we cannot take away the fact that how much ever nutrient or fertilizers we feed into the soil, the genetic material of the seed determines how much a plant can give out the yield. The seed does not rot after sowing is also an important observation that one needs to look at. If the seeds are treated properly and stored properly, it will not rot, it will not decompose, or rather it will not have a short living plant. It also saves a lot of expenses of disease control at a later stage of seed processing. So if a well-treated seed is stored in a specific place, a similar seed which is not stored may be stored in that same place but may decompose or decay or may find some other diseases on them as compared to a processed or treated seed. It controls diseases, which is obvious, and it also protects the seeds in the storage. There are times when you may have observed, or I have observed, farmers dipping their seeds in neem oil or neem extract just to ensure that rodents or other diseases do not come close to them. Now let us look at what are the possible causes, you know, that brings about deterioration of seed quality. The first cause is the decrease in enzymatic activity, or rather the glutamic acid or decarboxylase inside the seed. This ensures that the embryo gets proper nutrition and it grows. If this activity is decreased, germination is delayed. And if germination is delayed, the embryo may decompose along with the seed. There are also certain mutagenic effects of products of respiration under adverse storage conditions. For example, a lot of oxygen given to a seed may actually result in the rotting or decomposition of the seed. There are also certain unsafe storage conditions that lead to aberrations. If we are not stocking up seeds in the right manner, they may end up harming each other in various stocks. There can also be certain damage to the embryonic tissue, and that will not help in germination. Now, let us look at the storage of seeds. This is a very important process as it has to be governed scientifically, and there are multiple requirements, rather very rigid requirements, before we go for the storage. Why do we need storage? Everyone thinks it's an obvious thing. We need to store seeds, but then there are certain benefits or there are certain specific reasons why seeds are stored and why they are stored in a very rigid condition. First of all, it is required to maintain the germplasm, which ensures that the seed germinates in the next season. Please understand that the seeds that go into storage are not necessarily used immediately, maybe in a month or 2 months' time, or rather in a week's time. Sometimes these seeds are stored for almost a year or maybe more than that. Until the time it is actually sold or actually used on the soil, the seed needs to maintain its germplasm, which ensures that the seed germinates. Proper storage ensures that the germplasm is maintained and ensures a good germination rate for the seed. There could also be a total crop failure if the seed is not stored in a correct atmosphere. The respiration rate of the seed. Understand that the seed also respires. It also, through its shell, takes in gases and gives out, and it has to maintain that so that the embryo is alive. The respiration rate is greatly influenced by the moisture content of the seeds and the temperature conditions that we live in. If it is too cold and too moist, the respiration rate is greatly impacted and the seed does not germinate or the seed becomes inviable. There are various storage stages as far as seeds are concerned. Now, the seeds are considered to be in storage. How do we define, that the seed is in storage? The seed can be considered to be in storage from the moment that they reach physiological maturity until they germinate or until they are thrown away because they are dead. Until that point in time, a seed is considered to be in storage, which means that even when the seed is on the plant, it is considered to be in storage if it has matured. So, like I said before, there are various storage periods, like storage on the plant. A seed has matured, but we have not threshed it and we have not segregated it or treated it and put it in seed bags. But since it has matured, it is being stored, but it is being stored on the mother plant. Harvest, or rather until processed and stored in the warehouse, is also another stage of storage. So we have harvested the plant, we have tied them up in bundles, and we have tagged those bundles and kept them aside. We have not begun the threshing. We have not begun the cleaning. It is still in storage. The seeds are being transported from one place to another. It is still in storage. When it is lying in the warehouse, it is in storage. When it is at the retail stores, it is in storage. Even before a farmer actually uses the seed in the field, when the farmer has bought it and kept the seed with himself, it is still considered to be in storage. Now, why are we focusing so much on these various storage periods? Because at each storage period, it is important that whoever is handling the seed needs to take care that the quality under any circumstances is not impacted. The storage has to be done in a very specific, timely manner. It has to be done in a scientific manner, and it has to be done keeping in mind that the moisture content and the genetic and varietal purity of the crop is maintained. We have heard in the previous sessions about dormant seeds, seeds that do not germinate that very easily. So what is a dormant seed, or what is seed dormancy? It is basically a phase of a seed in which it is temporarily inactive. It can get active, it may or may not. So there is always a possibility that this dormant seed may not germinate. Now, it varies widely from seed to seed, from variety to variety, or species to species of plant. Some seeds remain viable only for a few days. Now, the seed can be also considered dormant till the time it does not germinate. These seeds can be viable for many, many days, maybe months or years. For example, there is a type of seed which is called as a recalcitrant seed, which I will explain to you later. But these seeds do not have a long life. It can at max remain for a couple of weeks or maybe a couple of months. On the other hand, there are seeds like a custard apple seed, which can be stored for a year or two and can be used on the seed, can be used on the field and used to create a new tree. It is the dormancy which has to be preserved during this stage, during storage. Now, when we are storing a product, when we are storing the seed, what we are trying to maintain is the dormancy of the storage. If the seed germinates in storage, it is non-viable. If the seed decomposes in storage, it is again non-viable. So our aim while storing seeds is to ensure that we are storing the, or rather we are maintaining the dormancy of the seed until and unless it is used for the next season, until and unless it is used for the next year, whatever be the timelines. The end goal of seed storage is to maintain seed dormancy. So what are the factors that influence seed storage? So there are biotic factors, there are abiotic factors. Let us look under biotic factors. There are certain genetic factors that we need to look at. Some seeds are microbiotic, which basically means they are short-lived. For example, onion seeds or soybean seeds do not have a long life. On the other hand, there are some seeds which are naturally long-lived, like I just told you about custard apple. They are macrobiotic. They can be stored in for a long time. That is in their genes. So genetically, there are certain seeds which can live for a couple of years. The dormancy can be maintained for a couple of years. And then there are seeds where the dormancy cannot be maintained for long. So when we are looking at seed storage, we need to understand which type of seed are we storing, and we need to have the knowledge of the genetic factors that are going to impact the dormancy of the seed. Under the biotic factors, we can also look at the initial seed quality. We need to understand what was the quality of the certified seed, trace it back to the foundation seed. From the foundation seed, we need to trace it back to the breeder seed, and from the breeder seed to the nucleus. And that is why we always ensure that the traceability of the seed is ensured. Moisture content is another important factor that influences the seed storage factor. It is another biotic factor that comes into picture. Now, there is a rule called the Harrington's thumb rule on seed moisture content. What it basically says is that 1% decrease in the moisture content of a particular seed increases the life of this seed by twice. So if I am reducing the moisture content by 2% for a seed that generally has the life of maybe 6 months, I am reducing it by 2%, the life increases 4 times. I can save it for at least 2 years. So this is the impact of moisture content on a seed. Now again, this depends on species to species or seed to seed, where some seeds cannot actually take dry conditions. Some seed cannot lose moisture, otherwise it will become inviable. There are some other seeds that can lose considerable amount of moisture. The Harrington's thumb rule basically holds good between temperatures of 4 to 12 degrees Celsius. Beyond that, this rule kind of does not work. We need to also consider the microflora, like fungi, if there are fungal infections on your seed, which cannot be seen. Generally, we say that fungal infections can be seen. You can see the mold on top of the seed, but no. There are sometimes microflora present inside the seed, which impacts the germination or the quality. There can be insects or mites. Several times, if we have seen groceries coming into our house and we have bought rice or wheat or similar things from a grocery shop, we have seen our mothers clean them, and we have at times seen certain small insects in them. We have also seen that in our household storage, we kind of use neem leaves in our storage facility to ensure that these mites do not come in. Mites also impact the quality of the seeds because they kind of eat from these seeds and they leave white spock marks, which later on impacts the quality of the seed and the germination rate. There are other insects, rodents. There can sometimes be mishandling while doing a sampling, while doing the testing. If the person conducting these activities on the seed does not have the necessary technical and theoretical knowledge of how to handle a seed, he or she may inadvertently create a loss on the seed quality. Now, when we looked at biotic factors, now let us look at the abiotic factors. So, relative humidity is one of the abiotic factors that impacts the seed quality. If we have too much of a humid conditions, it may give rise to some form of disease or infection on the seeds. If we have too dry or arid conditions, it may again impact the seed in a different manner. The temperature in which it is stored. Do we have a normal no controlled, zero controlled temperature atmosphere, or do we have an air conditioned, highly controlled, climate controlled temperature atmosphere? All of this impacts the gases during storage. For example, if, like I said before, if the oxygen level in the seed storage facility increases, the viability of the seed decreases. Now, we all may think that oxygen is very important for life, so how can seed viability decreases? Because oxygen interacts with living organisms and creates certain chemicals that hinders growth at times. In the human body, they are called the antioxidants, and we always say that, sorry, in the human body it is called oxidants, and we always try to consume antioxidants to ensure that the oxidants do not impact us. Similarly, in plants, oxygen creates certain reactions which ensures aging. In seeds, again, it impacts. Higher level of oxygen impacts the seed's viability, and hence it is ideal to store your seeds in a high nitrogen or high carbon dioxide atmosphere. You can also see there are times in certain villages when corn is harvested. The seeds of the corn are stored in a facility where they burn, plant waste or animal waste is burnt. That ensures high level of carbon dioxide, and it ensures that the seed quality is maintained and the germination is retained. So, what are the requirements of seed storage? There are several requirements before we go for seed storage. So, first is the control of environmental factors like temperature and humidity. We just explained, or rather, we just saw what is the impact of temperature and humidity. The moisture content of the seed. The seeds are supposed to be dried properly in sun or by using mechanical dryers so that the moisture content can be brought down somewhere between 8 to 9%. The cleanliness of the place where it is being stored. The godown has to be properly cleaned. A general practice is to spray the entire space with a chemical called Malathion 50%, which is an insecticide. And the general, measurement is 5 liters per 100 meter square. That is the general measurement that is used for spraying of Malathion. The seeds, once they enter into the storage, has to be inspected every 15 days. In this manner, we can ensure that if there is any problem, any disease that is impacting the seeds, it can immediately be tackled and the spread can be stopped. If there is infestation of pests, mites, that can be tackled and it can be stopped. Aluminium phosphide tablets, roughly 2 to 3 tablets per ton, is used to ensure that certain pests do not enter or certain infections do not happen to the seeds. Again, one can also use the ethylene dibromide 32 grams per cubic meter. That also ensures certain diseases stay away, certain fungal infections and bacterial infections stay away. Fumigation is also a very good alternative. Sometimes certain storage areas refer to fumigation, provided there is a good ventilation facility. Fumigation works better when there is a better ventilation facility. Otherwise, whatever is fumigated, rather the fumes that are entering to a specific place, will settle down on the seeds and that may create some form of chemical reactions, may or may not. So people do not generally take risk with fumigation in closed spaces. The godown has to be disinfected every 3 4 weeks, which ideally means every month. The godown has to be disinfected. Now, what happens if we do not follow these processes? Obviously, there will be some form of disease, there will be some form of rodent or pest infestation, and we will lose out on good quality seeds for which we have actually conducted a 3-generation production system. Storage environment needs to be free from insects and rodents. Obviously, if we conduct a good hygienic cleaning activity, there will be some form of benefits in terms of getting away the insects and rodents. Insecticides and fertilizers should not be used, or rather, it should not be stored along with the seeds. It is an important rule. Insecticides and fertilizers are required after the seed is sown, not before. The storage room should be cool and dry. We cannot have a moist storage room. Fumigation obviously needs to be done at regular intervals, and wooden pallets needs to be used for arranging the bags. It should ideally be done in a crisscross manner so that air can flow through the various pallets. Generally, if you have seen a warehouse, items are stocked or rather placed one behind the other. When we are entering a seed storage facility, we cannot have that situation because air may flow maximum from one or two openings in a seed storage. To ensure that the airflow is equal across the entire storage facility, across every lot that is stored in the facility, it has to be arranged in a crisscross manner that ensures the air flows through each of the pallets. Seed bags should be stacked up to 6 to 8 tires. Now, it depends on the seed density. If your seed density is not that great, it may break or crack if there is too much of stacking. If the seed density is good enough, the stacking can also go higher. But ideally, it should not go beyond 8 tires. Restocking once in 3 months is very important. For example, if I have had a bag in which there are multiple small seed bags, I have to take those seed bags out and place them again to ensure that there is a lot of aeration in it. There is a lot of airflow in it. It prolongs the seed's viability and it prolongs the seed's dormancy in storage. If we are using gunny bags or sacks as we know them, or we are using cloth bags and containers, specific containers to store seeds, they need to be fumigated with aluminium phosphide. The problem with closed containers or gunny bags and cloth bags is that they are very prone to absorb moisture, and once they absorb moisture, the moisture may impact the seed, or there may be some form of fungal or bacterial infestation or infection on the bag, which may result in poor, impacting the seed that is stored inside the bags. How do you maintain the viable storage? So now that we know what all are required for the storage, we also need to know how do we maintain the viability of a seed in storage. So once the seeds are stored, what we need to ensure that the seeds which enter the store are well matured, they are normal colored, they are free from any form of injury, and they are free from any form of fungal or microorganismic infections. So it's a simple process, as we can say, but it is not actually that simple. We have to look at seeds that are matured. If the seeds are not well matured, there is no point storing them. They may either decompose or they may lie dormant forever. If they are not normal colored, the issue with one seed may propagate into other seeds and it will affect the entire storage. There cannot be a breaking. There cannot be some form of aberration on the seed coat. Like I said, a crack on the seed coat ensures more moisture entering the seed, which renders it non-usable. And of course, it has to be free from all sort of fungal and microbial infections. Seeds should also not have met with some adverse conditions during maturation. For example, if suddenly there was hailstones during the maturation of a seed, those kind of seeds need to be avoided. Seeds should be treated with certain fungicides or insecticides before they go into storage. The packing material that is used for a particular seed needs to be suitable for that seed. Not every seed can be stored in a closed container. Not every seed can be stored in a gunny bag. So for every type of seed, the exact type of packing material needs to be used. And knowledge of those kind of packing materials for every kind of seed is important when someone is working towards seed processing and seed storage. Let us now look at the various types of storage in seeds. The first type is where the storage happens at an ambient temperature and an ambient humidity. It happens either in piles or single layers or sacks or in open containers under a shelter which is well protected from rain and well ventilated. Such storage facilities also ensure that it is the seeds that are stored inside are protected from rodents, and the timeline for such storage are several months. The second type is where we have a dry storage with control of moisture but not temperature. It is said that conventional seeds retain viability for a longer duration when they are dried to a low moisture content of almost 4 to 8%. Such seeds, when they are stored in sealed containers in a room where humidity is controlled, cool conditions are maintained, if not a temperature controlled atmosphere, the viability of the seed is still maintained. Now, there can be various ways of controlling moisture, either by putting in dry air or moisture absorbents at various places inside the storage facility. Such activities ensure that moisture is limited and controlled and ensures that the dormancy and viability of the seed is maintained. Now, there is another type of storage where the storage is dry, obviously, but with control for both moisture and temperature. This is recommended for certain species which have periodicity of seeding but are planted annually in large scale, specifically for afforestation projects. In such cases, the seed needs to be stored for almost a year or more than that. And in these cases, the seed conditions for storage has to be controlled in terms of moisture as well as the temperature. Another type here is a long-term gene conservation storage. Here, the seeds are stored at a temperature which is minus 18 degrees Celsius, which conserves certain genetic resources of the storage, but the moisture content in such storage facilities needs to be somewhere around 5 to 11%. Now, there are some other type of storage where there is no control of moisture, but there can be some control of temperature, or rather they do not have any form of control temperature. Now, this happens for something called as a recalcitrant seed. Like I mentioned in the previous slides, there is a type of seed which is known as recalcitrant. Such seeds do not get into a viable zone if they are dried or if they are frozen. They have to be at normal room temperature. Whether you dry it beyond a point or you freeze it beyond a point, the seed loses its viability. Certain melon seeds, mango seeds, all these kind of seeds have a recalcitrant tendency, and hence drying them too much or freezing them too much will render them non-usable. One more type is a moist cold storage facility where the control is for low temperature, just above freezing point or just below freezing point. Here what happens is the moisture is required, otherwise if the seed is dried to a large extent, the seed may become unviable. And in such cases, the moisture is added to the storage facility, but the temperature is kept just above or just below the freezing point, just to ensure that the seed is not rendered non-usable. The most advanced or the most technical part of storage is when we get into cryopreservation. Here, the seeds are dipped in liquid or gaseous nitrogen at minus 150 degrees Celsius. Now, what happens at this stage is, I'm pretty sure most of us are aware of the sci-fi films which uses cryogenesis or cryostasis for preservation. It's a simple process in which nitrogen is used to preserve, rather liquid nitrogen is used to flash freeze a living organism, in this case a seed, and store it for a longer duration in that same zone. Now, what happens when any living organism is dipped into liquid nitrogen? And I'm not talking about a human being or an animal, I'm talking about something like a plant. The moment you dip it in liquid nitrogen, all metabolic reactions happening inside that living thing, whether it is a plant, a flower, or a seed, it stops and comes to a complete standstill. And it will remain in that state till the time we ensure that the material is stored in that same condition. There are many facilities which use cryopreservation. There is a facility somewhere in the European or the Swiss Alps which is storing seeds of every known variety of plant, crop, fruit and vegetable to ensure that in case tomorrow the earth gets destroyed, that's the basic philosophy of the storage, that in case the earth gets destroyed by some natural calamity, we can restart it using these seeds. And all these seeds are stored in a cryogenic facility. Now, there are various storage containers that are used for seed storage. Some of them are moisture pervious, some are impervious. Now, what do we mean by pervious and impervious? When we say moisture pervious, it means that it allows some amount of moisture to move into the storage, or rather into the container. This can be used in storage facilities where controlling of temperature and humidity is available. Impervious are basically used in areas where seed is dried to a minimum moisture content and it is placed in a moisture proof container. Now, whether we control the moisture externally or not, it may not actually impact the seed in a moisture proof or a moisture impervious container. So in a temperature controlled seed storage facility where moisture control may not necessarily be possible, a moisture impervious container is actually ideal. The third form is called a moisture resistant. Plastic films, aluminium foils, polyethylene films or bags, all of them do not allow moisture to even form on top of them. They are completely water resistant. There is one thing of being impervious to moisture and there is one thing of being resistant to moisture. Impervious basically means that it does not allow moisture to seep in to the container, but a resistant, moisture resistant packaging ensures that moisture does not even form on the surface of it. Now, we've seen what type of facilities are required, we've seen what packaging is required. Now let us look at the various the godowns or the areas or the warehouses where the seeds are going to be stored. The ideal godown, any ideal godown for storing seeds would have these characteristics. One, transportation facilities would be easily available. If seeds have to be moved to or from a particular location, it should be closer to either a railroad, a surface transport road or a highway, or a port, depending on what kind of movement that seed is going to have. Ideally, most seed storage facilities are closer to highways or main roads where they can be connected with other locations where the seed needs to go. The godown should not be near seashore because the humidity levels are pretty high and it is obvious. Anything near the seashore will create trouble. Like people who have stayed near the seashore or who are near the sea, the near sea facing places, they have always faced some form of deterioration on their food materials which are kept outside the refrigerator. Now imagine the same thing happening to a seed. It should not be near a low-lying water stagnating area. There are several geographical pockets in this country where water essentially floods in very easily during monsoon. In such locations, the winter and summer may not be a problem, but monsoon will create a lot of issue with moisture. It should be ideally rodent-proof. There should be no way a rodent or any form of pest can enter into the godown. And it should not be near industries. It should be in an area where industrial pollutants do not come in. It is ideal that seed storage facilities are kept away from industrial zones because there are multiple pollutants that are released by the industries in the atmosphere through air, water, soil. Any of these pollutants entering your seed storage facility will render harmful effects on the seed. And we are, in this entire process, the single aim of storing seeds or ensuring seed storage and treatment is to find out, is to actually figure out if we can maintain the dormancy of the seed and we can ensure that the seed is viable. Now, how do we maintain the storage godowns? First and foremost, different seed lots need to be kept separately. You cannot have different seed lots being kept in close proximity to each other. There is always bound to be, if not some reaction, there is always bound to be some form of manual confusion, and we may take out the wrong lot and provide it to the wrong type of people. Every seed lot should be tested at least once in a month to ensure seed quality. I think we considered this in the previous slide also, where every 3 to 4 weeks the seeds need to be tested. Regular testing will allow us to identify potential problems or actual problems that are in the seed, and we can eliminate these seeds before they go out in the market. New seed lots should be of the same variety or of the same species of crop should be kept away from the old seed lots. So not only are we keeping different seeds of different seed lots in different way in different areas of the storage space, we are also keeping the new and the older lots of the same seed or the same variety of seeds away from each other. This helps in understanding, or rather ensuring, a proper control of seed lots from the storage to the retail facility or any other facility where the seeds are moving. Per acre or per hectare packing is preferable. So when we are packing and stacking things, it has to be considered from a per acre or per hectare point of view, wherein we should ideally know that one particular unit of compound packaging will occupy this much space. There needs to be some space for air ventilation through every lot, and accordingly a per hectare or a per acre calculation of layouting is done. The seed bags need to be restacked. It needs to be unstacked and restacked almost once in 3 months, so that there is aeration. Most of the times what happens is we just pack up certain things and keep it in a place. It is important that sometimes we remove these things out, open, let the air flow go, close it back and put it again. Similar with seeds. You cannot just pack it and leave it. There has to be some form of airflow, because seeds also breathe. So there should also be a unpacking and restacking or repacking of the seed bags every 3 months. Thank you so much.